Our opening hymn today is Onward Christian Soldiers. This is a 19th century English hymn, and the words were written by Sabine Baring Gould in 1865, and the music was composed by Arthur Sullivan in 1871. Sullivan named the tune St. Gertrude, after the wife of his friend Ernest Clay Kerr Seymour, at whose country home he composed the tune. It became Sullivan's most popular hymn. The hymn's theme is taken from references in the New Testament to the Christian being a soldier for Christ. For example, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Onward, Christian soldiers." Let us pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, while we acknowledge how great is the privilege of bearing the description of being a Christian, we also recognise that we are engaged in a war against the evil in the world, and we need you, our Almighty God, to be our guide. We need the kind of confidence that only comes when we become dependent on your omnipotence, dear God. So we come before you mindful that without you we cannot attain what we have promised. We come into your presence knowing that although we know we must receive what you alone can provide, we can be strangely reluctant to rely on you. Open our hearts to receive what our minds know is needed. What you see fit to put our hand to for your kingdom's sake, see in us, we pray, the humility to depend on you, our God, and not to think that we are able to succeed in our natural strength. Grant, we pray, your protection over those who serve you, especially where there is persecution. And these things we ask in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Our next hymn, Be Thou My Vision, was translated into English from an old Irish hymn by Mary Byrne, who was an Irish linguist, author, journalist, and she translated these words in 1905. And it's a hymn which has stood the test of time. Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart.
A poem, A Saviour. I heard of this man they called Jesus. They said he was gracious and kind. He would give his time so freely to those who are lame, sick, and blind. I heard that he once touched a leper, something that no other would do, and life to the dead Jesus offered, and blessed both the Gentile and Jew. To those who the world disregarded, he gave for their future new hope, and all those in need who approached him, through strength in his grace, they could cope. I heard through the people who knew him of all that he did here on earth. They told of his signs and his wonders, and how they were given new birth. But some, out of hatred and envy, betrayed him with stories and lied. They stood at his cross in derision, to callously watch as he died. But now I have met him in person. His spirit revealed him to me. I found he is love without measure. His death for my sins set me free. He placed in my heart a conviction to tell what I've heard is all true, that Jesus in love came to save us, a saviour for me and for you.
Here now we have a classic brass band selection incorporating three well-known tunes to some of the words of the hymns that are given here. I won't read them all out, but firstly we have Trust and Obey. You will know these words, I'm sure. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And then secondly, we have the cross that he gave may be heavy, but it ne'er outweighs his grace. The storm that I feared may surround me, but it ne'er excludes his face. The cross is not greater than his grace. The storm cannot hide his blessed face. I am satisfied to know that with Jesus here below, I can conquer every foe. The words written by Ballington Booth, one of William Booth's sons. And then thirdly and lastly, we have a hymn written by Edgar Page Stittes. And some words of these you will hear echoing through the music. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy way, even when my faith is small, trusting Jesus, that is all. And the chorus, trusting as the moments fly, trusting as the days go by, trusting him whate'er befall, trusting Jesus, that is all. The wonderful selection for brass bands by Eric Ball, entitled Constant Trust. Eric Ball, the composer of the brass band selection Constant Trust, uses two songs found in the Salvation Army songbook. The first is number 690 with the words, When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And the chorus, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The second song is number 894. That's not so widely known, but with telling words by Ballington Booth, the chorus of which is, The cross is not greater than his grace. The storm cannot hide his blessed face. I am satisfied to know that with Jesus here below, I can conquer every foe. The brass band selection, Constant Trust, by Eric Ball.
Thank you.
Now here's a magnificent, rousing choral piece, Every Time I Feel the Spirit. It's an African-American spiritual dating to before the US Civil War. I'm sure this will get our toes tapping. Every time I feel the spirit moving in my heart, I will pray. God's tithes and our offerings. Seemingly everyone in the world is being affected by the COVID pandemic. It's turned the world into a very different place. Many people have lost loved ones and others are genuinely fearful of what the future holds. Many church congregations have not been able to gather in the places of worship for a year or more. And although some have benefited from visual technology, the danger is that people can become spectators of the worship rather than participants in it. Never has there been a more urgent time to ensure that the message of hope and transformation is presented to people. Inevitably, that takes finance to include those who are dropping out of church attendance, and to also reach those who could normally be reached by the churches. Could we respond to God's leading, please, to support with finance those ministries which are doing their best to effectively share the ministry of love, of hope and encouragement in the Christian faith? May God bless you as you give. The hymn, And Can It Be?, was written by Charles Wesley in 1738 to celebrate his conversion, which he regarded as having taken place on the 21st of May of that year. The hymn celebrates personal salvation through the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's worth pausing for a few moments to consider how the hymn was created. The title and first lines of the hymn are framed as a rhetorical question written in the first person, in which the writer asks if he can benefit from the sacrifice of Jesus through the blood of Christ, despite being the cause of Christ's death. The hymn makes reference to several biblical events, and each verse returns to the individual's experience of faith and personal salvation. The second verse expresses amazement at the apparent paradox of the death of the immortal Christ. "'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies," referring to the biblical accounts of the Passion of Jesus. The following verse celebrates the incarnation of Jesus and borrows a verse from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, "emptied himself of all but love and bled for Adam's helpless race." In the fourth verse, "my chains fell off," Wesley makes reference to the imprisonment of both St. Peter and St. Paul, the liberation of Peter in Acts chapter 12, and the liberation of Paul in Acts chapter 16, as a metaphor for his own liberation from sin. With the line, "thine eye diffused a quickening ray," Wesley describes the liberating power of God descending on the captive soul, using words closely based on a line from Alexander Pope's 1717 poem, Eloisa to Abelard, "thy eyes diffused a reconciling ray, and gleams of glory brightened all the day." The fifth verse uses words from Romans 8, chapter 1, to describe the doctrine of justification by faith. "No condemnation now I dread," and looks forward to the believer receiving a crown in heaven after death. A wonderfully written hymn, "And Can It Be?" Our Bible reading today is Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 to 20. Now Jericho was tightly shut up because of the Israelites. No one went out and no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with its king and its fighting men. March around the city once with all armed men. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry trumpets of ram's horns in front of the ark. On the 7th day, march around the city 7 times with a priest blowing the trumpets. When you hear them sound a long blast on the trumpets, have all the people give a loud shout. Then the wall of the city will collapse, and the people will go up, every man, straight in." So Joshua, son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and have 7 priests carry trumpets in front of it." And he ordered the people, "Advance, march around the city with the armed guard going ahead of the Ark of the Lord." When Joshua had spoken to the people, the 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets before the Lord went forward, blowing their trumpets, and the Ark of the Lord's covenant followed them. The armed guard marched ahead of the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard followed the Ark. All this time the trumpets were sounding. But Joshua had commanded the people, "Do not give a war cry. Do not raise your voices. Do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So he had the Ark of the Lord carried around the city, circling it once. Then the people returned to camp and spent the night there. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priest took up the Ark of the Lord. The 7 priests carrying the 7 trumpets went forward, marching before the Ark of the Lord and blowing the trumpets. The armed men went ahead of them, and the rear guard followed the Ark of the Lord, while the trumpets kept sounding. So on the 2nd day, they marched around the city once and returned to the camp. They did this for 6 days. On the 7th day, they got up at daybreak and marched around the city 7 times in the same manner, except that on that day they circled the city 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priest sounded the trumpet blast, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the city. The city and all that is in it are to be devoted to the Lord. Only Rahab the prostitute and all who are with her in her house should be spared, because she hid the spies we sent. But keep away from the devoted things, so that you will not bring about your own destruction by taking any of them. Otherwise, you will make the camp of Israel liable to destruction and bring trouble on it. All the silver and the gold and the articles of bronze and iron are sacred to the Lord and must go into his treasury." When the trumpet sounded, the people shouted, and at the sound of the trumpet, when the people gave a loud shout, the wall collapsed. So every man charged straight in and took the city. Amen. Our soloist, Sandra Enterman, brings to us now the words, "Through It All."
I've had questions for tomorrow. There've been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only came to make me strong. been to lots of places, and I've seen so many faces. There've been times I felt so all alone, but in my lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was his own. Through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through depend upon his word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank him for the valleys, and I thank him for the storms he's brought me through. For if I'd never had a problem, I wouldn't know that God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God can do. Trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus. Learn to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. I have learned to depend upon.
There's an old evangelical chorus which goes, "Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specialises in things thought impossible. He can do what no other can do." Well, if there's anyone listening today who has never encountered a problem which they have found impossible to solve, you're truly exceptional. So today, may I refer you to one of those seemingly impossible situations. The Israelites needed to get to the promised land which God said they could have. It was something he'd promised them 40 years previously, and they were now in sight of this land flowing with milk and honey. On the way, God had parted the River Jordan so they could cross into the land. But to get to the hill country, they needed to pass through the fortified city of Jericho. The problem for the Israelites, of course, was that the citizens of Jericho didn't want to be conquered. In fact, the summit of Canaan's central ridge is 12 to 15 miles west of the plain of Jericho and elevated 2/3 of a mile above it. The ascent is so steep and often precipitous So to ascend it by force is unthinkable, except along the valley approaches, which have always provided the paths of movement into the hill country. If this was obvious to invaders, it was doubly so to the country's defenders, who built fortified cities both at the head of such passes into the hills and near the outlets onto the plains. Jericho was such a guardian fortress. It was necessary, therefore, that this roadblock was reduced before Israel could advance to the hill country. The inhabitants of the walled city of Jericho, in anticipation of attack, had closed and barred its gates. Verse 1 reads, "It was shut up from within and from without. No one was allowed in or out." It's not that Jericho was a large city. In fact, it totaled only about 8 to 9 acres, so marching round it wouldn't take that long under normal circumstances, probably no more than 15 minutes. But the people of Jericho had stationed archers on the top of the walls, so to march around the city at a safe distance, the Israelites would need to have taken probably twice as long. The people of Jericho were not about to have their land conquered without putting up a spirited fight. So, how would God resolve this problem? Parting the sea was a truly miraculous event, but here we find the Israelites sitting ducks for the archers unless they kept their distance. But God had a plan. But firstly, he needed Joshua, their leader, to listen to it. In chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, we read, "When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or from our enemies?' 'Neither,' he replied, 'but as commander of the Lord's army, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked him, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place on which you're standing is holy ground.' And Joshua did so and learned from God, 'See, I have delivered Jericho into your hands.' And Joshua was given the master plan that he must follow." As we read the details, we might wonder what on earth marching round the city for 6 days and on the 7th day blowing a long blast on the trumpet and shouting was all about when the archers were ready if they came within range. But Joshua accepted the plan and he ordered the people to advance. And with the armed guard at the head of the procession, followed by the Ark of the Covenant, signalling the presence of God, Joshua followed the details to the letter. The Jericho defenders were in no doubt something was afoot, because the priests were blowing trumpets, it said in verse 9. But the Israelites all obeyed Joshua's instructions that they were not to give a war cry. "Do not raise your voices, do not say a word until the day I tell you to shout. Then shout." So for 6 days they did this and returned to camp and spent the night there. Those are, to say the least, unusual battle plans. But as we read, on that 7th day, it all happened just as Joshua had been told that it would. I'm sure that human nature of some of the Israelites came to the surface with comments which would come as they would from us. "This is bizarre. They're not going to be scared of us doing this." But credit to them, when Joshua gave the order to shout, they shouted and the wall collapsed and every man charged straight into the city. And that is so incredible. So perhaps here today we can get a hallelujah. I wonder if those impossible situations, some perhaps very personal ones to us, could yield, could be resolved, if we adopted Joshua's attitude. He listened to God's plan. He took off his sandals because he realized he was on holy ground, listening to God's message. We are always mentally on the go, perhaps even when we open God's word. Especially so when we accept that God is speaking to us. Joshua obeyed God's plan strictly, despite the fact they must have seemed very strange. But God's ways are seldom man's ways, are they? I'm reminded of a true story about a man who was faced with what to him was an impossible situation. He had come to the end of his tether, and he could see no way out. In despair, his wife contacted a minister friend she knew and outlined the dire circumstances. Responding to the cry for help, the minister arrived to find the man as desperate as the wife had said. The circumstances were so difficult, and the man was hardly coherent and in effect asked, as Joshua had asked at the sight of the man standing before him, "Who are you? What are you doing here?" And with the sword in his hand, this being for the minister the word of God, they stood on holy ground, and the man listened to God's plan for his life, and the walls came tumbling down. The barrier the man had built could no longer defy God's words, and he accepted Jesus as his Lord and Saviour. His wife rejoiced in her husband's peace, and their sons were amazed at the transformation. Does that sound too good to be true? Do you have impossibilities which right now you're thinking, if only that could happen for me? I'm sure that when Joshua saw the problem that was ahead for him, he could well have thought it was truly impossible. He could not have thought of a way of resolving it, and certainly not the way which God gave him. Could the problems we face give way to such a miraculous solution? Allow me just to add to the story of the man in despair I've shared with you. Where is he today? What sort of life does he have now? That man is one of God's ministers himself, serving a congregation whose needs with which he can personally identify. And every time he enters the pulpit, he stands with a drawn sword, the open word of God, and the congregation know they are on holy ground. As we're here today, opening the word of God, let us be aware we are on holy ground, and remember that God said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand. It's done. The answer to your problem God has already given. And it is so not just for Joshua. It is for us. All we have to do is to claim it. And what's more, God doesn't just barely answer our prayers, he answers in abundance. The man to whom I refer had the joy of seeing his mother, his wife, his sons, his brother, and his sister-in-law claiming Jesus as their saviour, and the miracle of seeing his son also becoming a minister. Dear friends, if your problems seem impossible right now, you are on holy ground. Believe God has heard your prayers and claim the answer as we pray now together. Dear God, here before you in reverence on this holy ground, we bring to you our problems which seem impossible for us to resolve, and from your word would learn the wisdom of relying on your ways. Assure us, we ask, of your willingness to apply to our situations your omnipotence, and for our willingness to accept the way you can and will answer even those problems which we feel are beyond us. And this we ask in the precious and worthy name of Jesus. Amen. Benediction. May your trust in the omnipotence of God make you strong in your faith, courageous in your actions, and firm in your convictions. And may the blessing of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit be yours this day and for evermore. Amen.